and then, of course, Willard the Dibs in the 4 p.m. hour. But let's bring in our main man, Warriors pre and post. He's an NBA champ. He's my big man. He's one of the best dudes I know out there on and off the TV screen. It's Festus Azili joining us on the River Islands guest line. And all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Good morning, my good brother, and I'm surprised you're up so early, 8:30 in the morning. Maybe you go take a nap afterwards, but Fezzy fell. You've been waiting for this day. Good morning, man.
Come on. What's up, Bate? Good morning, man. Good morning to my point guard, Shasky. What's good? You know I'm up early every day, right? You know I'm in the gym early every day.
Oh, I know. You've been listening a lot to the show. He's been giving us pointers, man.
What constitutes as early in your world?
Me, I'm up at 6 every day. But today I was up at 5. I'm hyped up right now.
I would
now.
Love to
I'm
sleep until 6.
That's like sleeping until noon for us, Fezzy.
God, I would love that. I'm so jealous.
Waking up at 6 in the morning is so paradise, jealous. Man.
If I had a radio show to do at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'd be up too. But nah, for what I need to do, yeah, 6 is just fine.
So you circled this date. You've been waiting for this date. It's the first game of the Emirates NBA Cup, which we're having some fun with here. But it's the return of Klay Thompson, man. And it's going to be so strange to see him at Chase Center in a different uniform. But it still hasn't hit me yet, Fezzy.
Man, you know, it's really crazy. I'm really excited. I'm strangely nervous. I'm anxious because I want to get to this game already. Obviously, the whole reason why this day is such a big deal is because of what Klay means to this organization. And he's been nothing but class, man. You know, we talk about Klay being zero maintenance. Like, people talk about low maintenance all the time. And, you know, Steve Kerr saying he's zero maintenance. And for any basketball player, you know, when you make it to the NBA, there's like, you know, everybody has their quirks and the things that they need. But Klay Thompson has been somebody I've known as a teammate. And all he wanted to do was just play basketball. He loves this game so much, and he just was an incredible teammate to me and an amazing role model for a franchise.
So take me back to the very beginning. You know, we just had Darrell Wright on, and he was going over how he was the vet. And
man, I heard, man. It's like, D-Wright, you're giving away all the juice.
I know. I kind of like that. No, but you were also a part of the team early on, and you came a year after Klay Thompson, and you guys went on a little run, you know, early on. So take me back to the beginning of it, not the championship year. I'm talking about kind of like the come up when you guys knock off
Denver
Nuggets, and you almost knock off the San Antonio Spurs, and just the ascension of Klay and Steph and Dre and Harrison and yourself and all those guys on that team. What was it like being a part of that?
You know, one thing I definitely agree with you, right? Klay didn't speak a lot, but when he did speak, like, it was always something like heartfelt. And I remember myself as a rookie just coming to this new city and, you know, trying to figure things out. And Klay invites us, all the rookies, over to his house. Like I said, he didn't speak a lot, but like you could tell he cares, right? And, you know, he had a chef cooking for us and we were kicking in. It's just the building of that community, building of that friendship. And for years, people always asked me, even after I retired, like, who are you so close to? I said, Klay, you know, because, you know, I've gotten to see him through the whole journey. I was there when one of the defensive coaches, Dan Erman, challenged Klay, you know. So did Mark Jackson. They challenged Klay, saying, listen, if you want to be the best two guard in the league, you got to play defense. And Klay turned out to be one of the best defenders in the NBA because of his competitive spirit, his drive. I watched him guard Kyrie for us to win a championship. I got to watch him guard, like, all the guards, like Chris Paul, all those things. You know, you talk about the domination of the Warriors versus the Clippers. Well, that was the ascension of Klay Thompson's defense as well, right? Like, that he had to guard all the tough matchups and then come to the other end and hit shots. So, like, all those things, for a long time, I didn't even think he got tired because of, you know, how competitive he was and how much he wanted to come out there and help the team win. So there was like there's this amazing confidence that I had knowing that I had these two guys and Steph and Klay and what they did for the game and how they felt about the game and how they wanted to hit shots.
You know, Fezzy, you bring up his defense and becoming one of the best two-way players in the league, guarding James Harden and Kyrie and Damian Lillard. The list goes on and on. Did you underestimate his killer instinct when you first met him, because you mentioned how he was quiet, and D. Wright mentions how he's quiet. But one thing I'm learning, even as he's a Dallas Maverick, is that his competitive fire is as high as Stephen Curry's and Draymond Green's. Like, he's a killer. He wants to win. Did you underestimate that when you first got to know Clay?
Nah, for sure, because he's so quiet. Like, you just don't, you don't, you would never expect it from him. But, like, I remember my first conversation. This is, like, when I was, one of our first practices. As rookies, we had to practice before summer league back then. So all the vets were gone. And I remember talking to Charles Jenkins back then, who was one of my point guards. And I was like, man, like, he was talking about how these two guards that really shoot the crap out of the ball. Obviously, I knew Steph from watching him at Davidson. So I knew he could really shoot the three. But he was like, man, just I hope you're ready to watch this in practice, because there's another guy over here that goes insane from the three-point line. I was like, what? Wait, which one of them is better? He's like, man, you just got to watch it, see it in practice. And honestly, I got to see it every day in practice. Even when they work out, after practice, guys go get extra shots up. And Clay is on one side, Steph is on the other side. And I always used to wonder if they were looking over their shoulders, because the way they were hitting shots was almost like they were competing with each other. You know what I mean? So I always wondered in my mind, like, in an alternate reality, if they all had to be on their separate teams, are they as good without each other supporting each other, you know? So that, I think there's something to be said about that. When Mark Jackson came out and said in, you know, 2013, this is the best shooting backcourt in the history of the NBA, everybody thought he was crazy. But we saw it every day in practice. It wasn't just like, he just came out and said, this is a guy who's, you know, Mark Jackson had played basketball. He's been around basketball his whole life. Like, he understands. He played with greats. And he said it because he saw these guys and he saw the competitive edge, and he had, like, you know, he just had so much faith in these guys, and we all did. So I am really excited today because of what Clay means to me personally, but I'm excited for the organization to show Clay some love, because he definitely deserves it.
What does he mean to you personally? I mean, I'll give you time to think about it. Like, I was thinking about, you know, today's my brother's birthday, for example, and how he's evolved over the last, you know, 12, 15 years. And you've known Clay since he was 21, 22 years old, and you've seen him evolve over the years. What does it mean to you? What does he mean to you?
I'll start off by saying, like, what I've seen from Clay is somebody who is, for someone who's a superstar, like, he is not, like, he's very, very, like, he's calm is not the word. He's very, I'll go back to the zero maintenance thing. Somebody that he doesn't need much, man. He's such a simple guy. Like, you know, when you watch Clay speak, you really don't have to do too much to understand what he's trying to say. He'll usually, more than what most basketball players would do, he'll tell you what's going on in his mind, in his heart. And I feel like he got a lot of flack for it last year. I'm like, dude, like, y'all not understand. Like, this dude is, like, really a genuine person. But what he means to me personally, you know, I just say this summer was huge, right? Like, I do a camp every year. You know, my, you know, nonprofit, we do work in Africa every summer. And Clay has seen me do it the past couple of years. And he came to me and said he wants to come. And I'm like, I mean, people say it all the time. And, you know, a lot of players say it to me all the time. But Clay Thompson, in the middle of one of the biggest summers of his career, he decides, you know what? I'm not going to go on vacation. He cancels his vacation because I told him what the dates were. And he was like, I'm coming, you know, and for him to be there and to watch the way the whole country in Cameroon and the kids responded to him, it was insane. Like, I feel like the whole country got turned upside down because Clay came there, and we were trying to keep it under wraps. And, you know, some kids took pictures of Clay because he was so excited to be out there on the court. He's out there playing one-on-one with the kids. They're so excited. He's, like, playing. Like, if they're playing with their hero. Kids are crying. They meet people. Like, grown men are crying. You know, like, I couldn't believe that I would meet Clay Thompson in my small city. You know, and you would never hear this from him, right? Because all the good works that he does, that's not what he does. He doesn't come out there. I would be the person to come out there and tell you what Clay Thompson has done. So, you know, for me to experience the whole summer with him, to see the way people reacted to him, to see the way he was giving back to the community, what he gave back to the charity and to everything we're doing over there. It was really a special moment for, you know, not just for me, for the people in Cameroon. And I'm really excited to know that our friendship means so much that he decided to trust me with a trip like that. 'Cause that's a big deal, you know?
Festus Ezeli here on the Morning Ross on 95.7 The Game, the River Islands guest line. Do you think that trip to Cameroon and out there in Africa, so we were watching your stories, and he looked, to us, he looked like he was at such ease with this decision to move on to go to the Dallas Mavericks. Do you think, did you get the same sense that when he was out there and he's seeing the kids crying, he's playing one-on-one with these guys, do you think that he was finally like, you know what? It's okay. Life is good. Life moves on here. Do you think he was at ease on that trip, or did that help him just kind of come to peace and come to grips with what happened over the last couple of years with the Golden State Warriors?
Yeah, no, obviously the last couple of years were tough. Watching him in Cameroon, the simplicity of everything over there, he was so, it was perspective changing for him, and it is for all of us. Right? If you get to see people having so much fun and really loving life, just having the bare basics, it changes your perspective. And Clay came out there and he was, you know, watching these kids playing in flip-flops, you know, kids playing soccer in the mud, barefooted. And he was like, man, what do we really have to complain about? These are his words. Like, it was like, man, he's like, I really am making it a point to come out this next year to play with joy. I'm not, you know, all this stuff, it's a fresh new start in Dallas, and I'm excited to come out there and help my team win. At the end of the day, he's an athlete and he's a competitor and he wants to win. But he's like, man, like, I feel like some of these things are distractions and it takes you away from what we really play for, which is the joy of the game. So you even saw pictures of, I didn't know Clay could dance. So you saw videos. I knew Clay for 10, 13 years before this. I never saw Clay dancing, but that was just a depiction, like another example of the joy, the free spirit, you know, that he was going to bring into his new situation in Dallas.
You know, Festus, when former teammates get together, there was the high school my dad went to, they were celebrating their 75th anniversary, our 75th reunion for a baseball team, and they were talking about how they won the championship, and all these OGs are coming together, and they're trading war stories, and they got all these different moments. And I love hearing the players talk because it's never like the championship game. It's always something else. It could be a loss. You're on the road somewhere. Maybe it's the bus trip. Like, there's always these moments that get brought up. When you and Clay are together, if you feel inclined so, like, what's the game? What's the moment that you guys bring up that maybe the fans wouldn't have at the forefront of a memory?
Man, you know, I always used to wonder because, like, there was a moment before the NBA Finals, and I was trying to figure out if he remembered this. There was a moment right the night before the first NBA Finals in 2015, and it was like the night before, and I couldn't sleep personally, so I'm tossing and turning because I'm like, man, I can't believe I'm here in the NBA Finals. I was just the kid at 16 years old that got cut in high school, and I just came from Africa, and I didn't know how to play back then, and now I made it to the NBA. The story keeps going. I'm in the NBA Finals, and I remember tossing and turning. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. We got practice at like 9 to go shoot around at 9 or, you know, whatever. And it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And I think somebody texts in the group chat for the team. Is anybody still up? And the text message chain goes off. Everybody's, boop, boop, boop. Everybody's texting. Like, we're all up and we're all, you know, excited to go to this game. And that's one of my favorite memories, something that people don't get to experience, right? Because you just see guys come out there, we play the game. But we're human, we have all these human emotions. And to know that, you know, this thing really stuck out to other guys on the team at the time. And there's other memories. Like, we just talking, you know, reminisced about times on the court, good times. I talked about his first game coming back after the two injuries and how much it meant to me personally because injuries cut my career short and how I was so – I was there. I was watching him rehab. I was, you know, around him at that time. So it meant so much to me because I felt like I was – praying and willing Clay to get back on the court. So when he got back on the court that day, I cried. I posted a picture of the video on my Instagram of his first day back on the court after those injuries and how the crowd goes crazy. If you go listen to it, it gives me chills till right now. Like, I watch it over and over and over. It's really amazing to see the love we have for Clay. And I'm really excited for everybody to continue to give him that because I feel like last year we lost a little perspective as a fandom, like not even just the world, I'm saying just the basketball world in general. It's like, man, this dude for the second half of the season last year, he averaged 18 points a game, was shooting, what was it?
43%. 43% from three-point
line. Yeah. So it's really insane. Like this, that number right there, those numbers are a max contract for people right now. and people take these things for granted. But I only say this to say, like, listen, it's the same thing for if you think about Steph or Draymond. Like, these people and these talents that we have here in Golden State, I feel like we should never take these things for granted, because you could blink an eye and everything will be gone, like, you know, because time will pass. So I hope we're appreciating the time that we get to experience right now. Some special, special moments being a Golden State Warrior player and fan.
I'm thinking about, man, well said, Fezzi, just awesome stuff here. And I'm thinking about the game winner in Indiana. We hit the fadeaway, Mark Jackson ISO'd him. I'm thinking about you being a fan during game 6 in Oklahoma City, where I thought, boy, 73-9, this is going to end in Oklahoma City. And Clay sets a playoff record. I'm watching you on the sideline going crazy, jumping up and down as you guys rally and send that game to a game 7. So many memories. And Fezzi, you said it, you're spot on. I think tonight will be a love fest for Clay Thompson. He's built a great legacy here. He's an all-time Warrior. He's an all-time NBA player. And I can't wait for him to get his love out there in the arena. I can't wait to see you later on tonight, too, because you're so close with Klay Thompson, man. Great, great stories, Fezzi.
So, of course, man, one of the best two guards in the league, no question about it. He was elite on both ends of the floor. You know, we could talk about 37 in a quarter or 60 points on 11 dribbles, which, by the way, you know, I was talking about Smack. I'm like, yo, I need you to get, like, 30 on, like, 2 dribbles. You know, obviously, you know, when you come back to play against your former team, you want to have a great game. And, you know, like you right said, you either have a great game or the worst game of your career. So those are things you always want to play well. It's going to be really cool to see everybody wearing the Klay Thompson, Kevin Klay hat. All these things are just, Fezzi, you know, all the reasons why we love Klay.
Fezzi, is he coming in on the boat? Is he going to do a one, or did he got rid of the boat, right?
I doubt it. Yeah. I doubt he's coming in on a boat. If he does, it would be very, very nostalgic for everybody to see him ride in on the bike. But where do you park the bike if you're a visitor?
Yeah, that's a good point. You might get jacked here in this city, man. You don't want to leave that bike nowhere in this city. They'll pick the lock quick in San Francisco, man. There's no doubt about that. Hey, Fezzi, I'll see you on later tonight, man. Can't wait to do it. Klay Day, and it's good to have you on these airwaves.
Welcome back, Klay, Bonte, my point guard, Sasky. Thank you guys for having me.
Have
guys.
A great Anytime, day, buddy. Man.
Great perspective there from Festus Azili. Great story time. Great the group messages going off.